welcome to Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon but are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be, and I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. Quick science lesson, for those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells. And if that wasn't difficult enough, at just the moment it thinks its life is over, it reforms into the butterfly. But it's not finished struggling. It has to fight in order to get out of the cocoon, which helps its wings to have what they need in order to take it to all the beautiful places that it will go as a butterfly. That can't be easy, folks. But then neither is busting through limits that society places upon us. And I'm so excited to be able to do this show every week and bring you all these amazing people who are busting through limits continually. But before I bring on our guest today, I think I must have had a mouse in my pocket all of a sudden that I said our guest. Before I bring on my guest today, I just want to remind you, if you like this, be sure to like it, subscribe to it, share it. Help the channel grow. We want to be able to bring these stories to as many people as possible. And the algorithm, the more interaction on the site, on the channel it gets, the more people it puts it out to. So if you like what I'm doing here, please be sure to like it, share it, and all those wonderful things. So now I am going to bring on Griselda, and she is going to give us some fascinating and wonderful information today. So welcome, Griselda. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I am a dyslexia coach, and I'm thrilled to be able to talk about dyslexia because it's my passion. And I help moms understand what dyslexia is and what it's not, and also how the brain of their child works so they can have a better understanding and be able to help their children at home. So I'm here to just share this information with your audience. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm excited to jump in. And thank you, Fran. She says, howdy from Southern Illinois, hashtag live. That's exactly what I asked for. I love that. People are following my directions as a teacher. You know, I'm always happy when people are following my directions. So let's just start out and go ahead and just kind of tell us your history up until today. Kind of what your child, you know, if you had dyslexia or who it is in your family that has it, or what is it that brought you to being the dyslexia coach?
Well, actually, one day I was working, I was in the therapy room. I was working with children and they were doing their exercises and I was just keeping track of the scores. Suddenly, there was a child that caught my attention. He was struggling. He was hesitant. He was second guessing, but frustration was written all over his face. And at that moment, I was taken back to when I was a child and I was struggling with reading. And also with word math problems, they were very difficult. And when I would ask myself, am I not smart enough? Mm-hmm. And what happened there then, it was that my life was going to change drastically. And what happened was that I learned that I was dyslexic. And as soon as I realized that I was dyslexic, that's when my whole past made sense. You know, the years of frustration, the exhaustion, and also the feeling that I always had to work harder than the rest. Mm-hmm. But now, what was important was that I felt relieved. I felt this relief because now I knew that I was not dumb, that I was smart, and that now I had an answer for my problem. And that answer became my mission. And what I did was starting working with children with dyslexia. I founded Dyslexia Warriors, Moms Igniting Potential, because based on my experience, I don't want another child to have to go through what I went when I was younger. And what is really, really hard on the dyslexic person is that you don't understand what's going on. And your self-esteem goes down. So that's why I am in this mission. And I want to do everything that's in my power to help the children and also the moms, because the moms work with the children at home. So I want to provide them with the tools and the strategies and the knowledge so they can do it and it can be effective.
Yes, thank you. And so how did you struggle all the way through school without the dyslexia diagnosis?
Yes, all the time. Even I went to college and it was the same thing. So I would always have to go to the library and find in the third floor, there was an area in the corner where I would always go and sit there just because I needed to, for it to be quiet as possible, and just so I could concentrate and learn what I needed to learn and be prepared for my test or my assignments.
Yes. And so did you not find out you were dyslexic until you were an adult?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened. I had no clue. Actually, I've never heard the word dyslexia before, you know, learning disability, yeah, but not the word dyslexia. So finally, you know, and it was strange. It was just the way that I had to find out. I always wanted to have a business. So I started looking for a franchise. And one day at the bottom of the list, there was Dyslexia Institutes. So I started looking into it. And so I said, I'm going to call them and see if they would be interested in me purchasing their franchise. So I contacted them and I had to go through several interviews. And then finally they told me, yes, go ahead. You can actually be part of it, but make sure that you surround yourself with qualified professionals, which is the psychologists, the therapists, the diagnosticians, teachers. And I did. And I opened Dyslexia Institutes. But I didn't want to be the lady, because I was just running the business. I didn't want to be the lady in that room, in that office. I wanted to connect with the children. I love children. So I wanted to connect with them. And the only way I could do that was if I was participating while they were getting their therapy. And like I said, I was just keeping scores of certain programs that they needed to work on, and we needed to keep scores. So that would give me the opportunity to talk to them and for me to get to know them and for them to know me. And that's when I started paying attention to the things that they were doing and where they were struggling. And it would remind me, okay, I used to do that, or I still do that. I still struggle with that. So that's when I started wondering what's wrong with me, or am I dyslexic? But the thing is that even though we provided the evaluations, I didn't want to be evaluated there because I was trained on how to do the evaluation. Oh. So I knew exactly what they're looking for. So I had to find someone outside of the institute to evaluate me. So I went through the process, but it wasn't easy, and I didn't do it immediately. I waited, I think, 2 years. And then I said, no, it's time. I can't deal with this. I need to know. So yeah. I finally found someone. And again, like I said, after I found out, I was relieved because I always thought that I was not smart. So it was very heavy on me, you know, and just finding out that there was a name to my problem and that it didn't mean that I was not smart. Actually, in order for you to have dyslexia, you have to be smart, from average to geniuses. And so that gave me a sense of relief, to be honest. So it was a good thing.
And I'm so glad that you brought that up, that, and I know we're not going to get into the, you know, the technicalities of what dyslexia is. However, with my knowledge of special education, exactly what you said, in order to be eligible in special education for a specific learning disability, which is the umbrella that dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia fall under, you have to have average or above average intelligence. Mm-hmm. And it really aggravates me that there is still this stigma of, oh, you have to get special education because you can't read, when that has nothing to do with someone's capabilities. And intelligence in general is kind of a, I don't like that we use that to group people so much, because people are so much more than just any one characteristic of themselves, whether that be, you know, I've known people who have had really high IQs that were not successful in life because they couldn't handle the social pressures. And then I've known people with much lower IQs who have been very successful in life. So I'm not sure that the intelligence quotient really gives that much credence into how well someone is going to do in life. And so when you were in school, what were the ways that, now that you know it was dyslexia, that it manifested itself in you? What were some of the ways that you struggled with school?
Okay, I was able to read, but I read very slow, okay? Because I was always worrying about being accurate when I was reading. But it was affecting my rate, how fast I was reading, my fluency, and obviously my comprehension. So when I would end up finishing reading the story, then I would have to read it again and again, maybe three times, in order for me to grasp the information so I could answer those questions. And also, I remember when I was in the classroom and the teacher wanted us to read out loud. So I would get very nervous. My heart would start beating really fast. My legs would tremble, and I just wanted to disappear. You know, I remember saying, please, Lord, don't let her call my name, you know?
Right.
And, people don't understand the stress that we feel because we struggle doing, whether it's reading, whether it's doing the math, we struggle with it. And obviously our self-esteem is not quite there. It starts suffering after a while because you start comparing yourself to your peers, to your siblings.
Right.
And so you have to deal with all kinds of emotions and still be able to function. So there's a lot of stress involved there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, just before coming on here to be with you today, was in a training about assistive technology devices. And just at the end of the training, well, just at the end where I could attend, it wasn't quite over, so I probably missed a little bit of it. But they talked about the fact that assistive technology, the text-to-speech has proven to be very helpful for people with dyslexia after like the third or fourth grade, because, you know, before third or fourth grade, you're learning to read, but then around third or fourth grade, that switch happens where you're reading to learn. And the toll, I mean, just the energy that is needed, as you said, you would have to read things two, three times sometimes. And sometimes you still didn't get it. And so you would have to, you know, maybe go back and do sections, and the energy that that takes. So, and the social side of it was the part that really struck me, in that, you know, when kids are, or middle schoolers or high schoolers are together, you know, maybe that's lunch or maybe it's a recess or it's, you know, in between classes or study hall or something. And they're talking about the concepts that they studied in whatever class, the science class, the reading class, whatever. The person with dyslexia hasn't maybe had the opportunity to process it completely because they had been spending so much time reading and focusing on the reading of it. But how having that text to speech becomes so helpful, because then the child can just focus on the comprehension of it and not all the energy processes that it takes to do the reading and the comprehending. And have you ever thought about that, or do you do that? Do you have things read to you so that you don't have to put so much energy into the actual reading part?
To be honest, sometimes I use audiobooks because that helps me tremendously. I really don't use a text-to-speech or speech-to-text apps, but it's mostly the audiobooks. When I'm driving, I always have the books going on, so just to get ahead and be able to do what I need to do, you know, whether it's I'm taking a test, because I do take some different classes. And so I try to keep up as much as I can about dyslexia. So I'm always learning. So that helps me tremendously. And yes, it is hard because sometimes communication, the words don't come up quickly. You can be in a setting where you're talking with your friends and even telling a joke, you know, sometimes you're like, okay, wait a minute. You lose the meaning or what they're trying to say during the joke or what have you. And you're trying to guess, you're trying to make sure that you get all the words in order so you can verbalize what you want to say. But by the time you're able to put all your thoughts in order, the moment's gone. So you're not able to participate. And so that's very stressful, you know, because you know exactly what you want to say, but there's a delay. And usually, this is what I tell the moms, that, you know, language is processed on the left side of the brain and creativity is on the right side of the brain. And the brain is like a GPS. The dyslexic brain is like a GPS that likes to take the scenic route. A brain that is not dyslexic, they usually take a straight path through the highway to process reading and spelling and then reach their destination.
Yes.
A dyslexic brain likes to take the back road, likes to explore new routes, and before they reach their destination. But along the way, they are going to pick up on unique insights, creativity, and they are going to also pick up on things that others might not pick up. And the thing is that the journey is going to be totally different, but they are going to reach the destination.
Yes.
That's what's important. It doesn't matter how long it takes us. As long as we get there, that's what's important.
Yes, that is exactly, not in the same terms that you said it exactly, mm-hmm. but very, very similar to mm-hmm. how I would describe to my students, mm-hmm. especially when I would first get my students as a special education teacher, that, you know, your brain isn't bad. It's exactly what you said. You know, most brains go from point A to point B, straight shot, and they're done. But your brain is exactly what you said. And I would use back roads as my example because I live in a rural area. And so there's lots of back roads. Mm-hmm. And if you take those, you will get to the towns. It's just going to, like you said, take you on that different route. And I so appreciate, obviously, that analogy because it's so much like mine, but it really helps.
Mm-hmm.
It helped the kids, and I think it helps adults too. It helped the kids, like you just said before, feel like, oh, I'm not dumb. I'm not doing this. I don't have control over this. I have to go this route.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's what I would tell them was I would even throw in the fact that, you know, your brain takes detours. Mm-hmm. You can't go from point A to point B in a straight shot. You have to go, you know, this way and that way and take this turn and that turn, but you're still going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think that's fantastic that we both have, you know, and I've not met you before today. So, you know, that was definitely not a planned thing to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to talk about, mm-hmm. and this is, I think, a good way into it is a lot of common myths, because you said you could read. And I think a lot of people think dyslexia and they really just think one component about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, there are several myths, and it's very important for us to clarify those misconceptions because nobody has an idea on how much it affects not just the condition, but also affects the child and how they are going to get the help that they need because they need specialized instruction. It's not like one fits all. It has to be specific for children with dyslexia. So one of the main myths, the one that parents talk mostly about is that my child sees letters backwards. And it's not about seeing letters backwards. It's just it's a language processing difference. What happens is, let's say they're reading a passage and on there they're going to see the word on. But instead of saying on, they're going to say no. And instead of saying was, they're going to say saw. And instead of saying pat, they're going to say tap. So as you can see, they're not reversing the letters. It's just that they're not processing the sounds in the right order for them to say the word. Mm-hmm. So it's more about a decoding and organizing language problem or issue.
Right.
And then another myth that is very common is children with dyslexia should try harder. Well, if anything, children with dyslexia work twice as hard as their classmates. And it's not about being lazy. It's about not having that instruction that I just had mentioned, a specialized instruction. And also, they are not lazy. They are overloaded.
Yes.
It's a lot of information. And again, there's a delay because they're using the right side of the brain to process all that information. And you just feel like you're being bombarded and they're not giving you time to process all that information. And then you feel the pressure, the social pressure to answer right away, to come up with an answer. So it just starts building up. Okay. Also, the other one is like they're not intelligent. And we already talked about that. You know, children with dyslexia, they have to be average to geniuses. And, you know, we have the Einsteins of the world. We have... Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise, Whoopi Goldberg, you name it, Charles Schwab, and they have done amazing things for society.
Yes.
So so the same thing for any child at this time and age. You know, the sky is the limit. If they want to be the president of the United States, yes, they can.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I try to teach my teachers now that I am doing that. But what I tried to teach the ones that I worked with at the time and also the paraprofessionals that I worked with is whatever direction we give to the student, mm-hmm. use the exact same words each time. Don't add anything, because what I had realized is that oftentimes all of my students, not just specifically dyslexia, they would have to process one word at a time of a sentence, where the rest of us process it as a whole concept. Mm-hmm. And so if we change the words that we've said, then they have to figure out what word we've changed and how that changes the meaning of the sentence that we're giving them or the direction that we're giving. Mm-hmm. And so always just repeating exactly what the direct, pick up your pencil, mm-hmm. put your shoes away, mm-hmm. and then don't say, come on, pick up your pencil. Well, now they have to process, come on,
yes.
Or, you know, say, you know, well, if you put your shoes away, then we can go play a game. No, just process the, you know, those two or three words and give them that opportunity to do so.
Yes. What I tell the moms, short and sweet. Don't yes. give them a long list, maybe three things at a time and short and sweet. You know, that's it.
Yes.
Because that's the way it makes it easier for us to process that information. And I don't know if you could allow me to do an exercise. It's an eye opener and it's also quick. It doesn't take too much time. Would that be okay with you?
Sure. Sure. Okay. I'm game for that.
So all we need to have is a piece of paper, a pen, a pencil, whatever you prefer. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you the definition of dyslexia. And I want you to write it. But when you write it, you are going to use your less dominant hand. So if you're right-handed, use your left. And if you're left-handed, use your right. Okay?
Okay.
So here we go. Dyslexia is a difficulty with reading and spelling that it's unexpected based on the person's intelligence and potential. One more time. Dyslexia is a difficulty with reading and spelling that is unexpected based on the person's intelligence and potential. So are you done or are you still writing?
Yeah, no, I I'm kind of ambidextrous, so I mean, I'm kind of used to writing with my opposite hand. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know what I wrote, but I don't think anybody else would be able to read what I wrote.
So, what feelings were you experiencing? Was it frustration? you're slow, maybe you feel awkward, maybe you feel anxious.
Yeah. I mean, I knew what the purpose of this was, you know, based on my background. And so mm-hmm. I knew what you were trying to do. And so I didn't feel mm-hmm. that stress of like, you got to hurry up and get this down and, you know, whatever. But it was like, okay, I know she's going to ask me to either repeat this or show it or both. And I didn't get it. And that's a beautiful example. And I'm probably going to steal that.
Go ahead and do it, because my mission is to educate, to make sure that we bring awareness however we can, so we can help these children. Because imagine having to deal with this 24/7.
Yes.
Nonstop. They have to deal with it every single day of their lives. So dyslexia is not just about reading and spelling. It's deeply connected with phonological awareness, which is the ability to recognize and work with sounds of the spoken language. And when a child cannot hear or manipulate those sounds, they are going to have a hard time with decoding words, meaning sight words, spelling those words, and even improving their vocabulary. And also, if there's not that strong phonological awareness, reading is going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still just about the exercise and just the fact that it was tiring. Mm-hmm. As I was writing, I was trying to like, okay, but what's the next two or three words that she's saying? Because I'm trying to, you know, get those down. And so, you know, I can absolutely have such a better grasp. I still don't understand it completely, but mm-hmm. I thank you for that 100%. And something that I had noticed too, because I've been in special education since the 1900s and, I remember students, you know, before they really used the term dyslexia or dysgraphia, mm-hmm. and I remember students would struggle. And you mentioned this a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. that the word is right there. You know what you want to say, mm-hmm. but you just cannot get that out. Mm-hmm. And I would get so frustrated with teachers because they would say, well, they're just sitting there staring at me. Mm-hmm. They're not just sitting there staring at you. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get their mouth and their brain to coordinate and the vocal cords to get that word out, mm-hmm. or they're just processing all of what you've just said. Exactly. And it's just amazing to me. And this, my husband isn't dyslexic, but he had an experience the other day where he was looking someone in the eye. Mm-hmm. He was introducing a group of people, mm-hmm. and he got like 4 out of the 5 names. And when he got to the 5th person, he's known her for years, mm-hmm. but her name would not pop out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been blessed in my own life to catch those kind of experiences and say, oh, that was just a 1 second, one day. But this is what people with specific learning disabilities are going through all day, mm-hmm. every day.
Every day, yes, every and day.
I think it's so important that we acknowledge even those minute seconds or moments in our lives and go, oh, that was really frustrating to me. And that was only this amount of time. What if that was my whole life? Mm-hmm. I think that has helped me. I think the Lord has just given me that gift to have those moments, recognize those moments, and then go, oh, wow, mm-hmm. how tiring that must be, how exhausting, how uncomfortable conversations. Like, mm-hmm. in everyday life, mm-hmm. we've talked about it a little bit, but maybe if you can elaborate more on how dyslexia can affect somebody in everyday life.
Well, the first thing obviously is going to be the first thing that it's going to be affected is your self-esteem, you know, especially when you're older, and I'm not saying my age, but just maybe in third, fourth grade. I'm not saying my age because I'm a baby boomer, but I'm saying maybe when they're in third grade and they start comparing themselves with their peers and they know there's something wrong, but they haven't had, they have not been evaluated. So they don't know. The teachers don't know either. And sometimes they say, it's okay, you know, they're immature. They are going to outgrow it. Don't worry about it. Give them more time. That really frustrates me because I know it's not going to get better. As time passes by, it's going to be harder for that child to keep up. They're reading at not even at grade level. You know, they're probably 2 or 3 years behind in some instances, because I did have some clients that were in third grade and they were reading at a kindergarten level. So just imagine the pressure that they were feeling. And since the teacher doesn't know that the child has this condition, they might ask them to read out loud in front of their peers. And what happens? They start laughing at them. Because they can't, you know, and right away they tell them, oh, you're dumb. Look at you. You can't even spell their name. Sometimes they can't even, at that age, they misspell their name, you know. And so, but it's, again, like you were saying, you know, we have this lost look, but not because we're trying to ignore the person or we're just being defiant. It's just that our poor brain is working on overload and it's trying to decipher what you're saying so you can come up with the answer at that moment. But it just doesn't come out. And you look like you're not able to communicate, to express your thoughts. And it's just a daily challenge. It's embarrassing. At my age right now, when that happens to me, because it has happened, you know, I was in another interview and my mind just went blank. So I told them, I'm sorry. What you're seeing right now is dyslexia. I know exactly what I want to tell you, but the words are not coming out. So it was very embarrassed for me to go through that. But it happens and you can't control it. You know, and so that's why it's so important to talk about it and just bring awareness and give examples like the ones we're giving. Like you're paying attention to every single detail so you can train the teachers. And that's what we need. We need to train the teachers because I haven't checked lately, but a few years ago, I think it was 1 in 100 teachers knew about dyslexia. Or the sign of dyslexia. It's been, let's say, 3-4 years, okay, because I haven't checked. Yeah. But just imagine 1 in 100, and they're dealing with the children every single day, and they can't tell that if it's dyslexia or if there's another problem. Sometimes it gets confused with ADHD, which both of them go hand in hand. I would say 90% of my clients, they suffered from ADHD and also dyslexia. So it was even harder for them because now it's hard for them to concentrate. They're constantly moving. So there's more challenges there. And some of them, they take medication for the ADHD and they start having other issues. They can't sleep. They're losing weight. They can concentrate, even though it's for them to concentrate. So there's a lot of problems that they have to go through, that they have to experience in order for them to just thrive academically. I can't stress enough. We need to bring more awareness. We need to talk more about dyslexia so the teachers and the parents are well informed so they are able to help their children at home, at school, and just understand where they're coming from. Because once we are empathetic towards these children, it's going to make a big difference. We cannot judge just because they're not being up to par with the rest. We can't judge. We have to understand where they're coming from and the struggles that they are facing on a daily. So thank you. I just want to say thank you for having me here and also for educating those teachers.
Yeah, no, it's my privilege. And I thank you for saying that. And I realized I left full-time teaching in 2017. Mm-hmm. And it was about 2019 when I realized something that I should have known. You know, it's one of those things like you go, duh, how did I not know that? Mm-hmm. I would get frustrated with a lot of the general education teachers that I worked mm-hmm. with because as you mentioned, and I mean, like I said, this you remember that statistic from a few years ago, and this was mm-hmm. longer ago than that. And then of course my teaching mm-hmm. starting longer than that was that as a special educator, obviously I receive, you know, tons and tons of information and classes in my undergrad about special education. Mm-hmm. I did feel like there was still so much I had to learn on the job. However, for the amount of education that I have, and I still don't to this day know everything. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about when I first started getting my education, I went into elementary education, and there were only out of all the 4 years of education that I would get for that degree, two classes that spoke specifically to special education that I had to take. The rest of the classes I could choose. And yet we have our law, and I absolutely think we should have a law, and I think the law is very valid, mm-hmm. That says if an IEP team decides that the student, their least restrictive environment is in the general education classroom with supports, that's where that child goes. And yet we have not provided the training necessary mm-hmm. to those general education teachers. And it probably gets, I mean, and I was going primary, so, you know, mm-hmm. I do content specific like middle school and high school teachers often do. So I imagine theirs is just as bad. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I started thinking, I need to provide professional development for teachers to have more understanding of who they're dealing with in their classrooms. Mm-hmm. I didn't ever meet a teacher who didn't want to teach my students, mm-hmm. but they would get frustrated because they didn't know how. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very sad. We expect our teachers to do much more than what we have trained them to do. And so I absolutely, you know, I very much enjoy going to conferences and training teachers in school districts because there is so much to know. And it's constantly, and it's not just in special education, it's in all parts of education. I mean, we now, you know, as you said, the science of reading, you mentioned that earlier, I think was, it, you know, something new, well, not new, but we're starting to pay attention to it, mm-hmm. you know? Yes. So again, teachers learning a new way, new in the world of education, how to get more of that phonemic awareness, how to get kids to understand that those little squiggles have a sound associated with yes. them. Those sounds can turn into words, and those words have meanings, and you know all the steps in that. And I'm very like I said at the beginning, I've so enjoyed doing hashtag no limits because of all the things that I've learned, all the limits that I've seen people bust through. So I do want to just bring up a couple things. So I've had your website scrolling a couple of times, but I do want to for people to follow you. You are on Facebook. It's just facebook.com/GRISELDA.OAXACA mm-hmm. decimal 7. Right. And then for Instagram, it's instagram.com/dyslexiaElPaso.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At El Paso, Texas. Is that where you were located when you came up with that name?
El Paso, Texas. Yes.
Okay. Perfect. And those will be, for those of you who are only going to hear this, as a podcast format, not with the video format, those will be in the show notes, but again, you can pop onto the video version. And then I do, do you want me to share anything from your website or do you feel like we've covered everything?
You are more than welcome to share information from my website, which is dyslexiawarriors.com. Just visit the website and just see what type of, if just see the information that I have provided. And you can also download ebook, and it's mostly about case studies and how we solve certain problems. I am offering a one-on-one meeting so we can talk about the problems that you're having. If you would like to talk to me, it's a 30-minute conference through Zoom. And you can just tell me about the problems that you're going through if you're dealing with a child that has dyslexia. And I'll be more than happy to guide you, to give you resources, and help you help your child.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah, I've just put it up on the screen to get the ebook. Mm-hmm. It's Dyslexia Warriors. So that's Dyslexia. warriors.com/home, which is I showed you her website before. And then you just scroll down. I'm presuming it's this book right here.
Yes.
The Mom. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, all I did was scroll down and that's right there. And then if you're interested, as she said, in that 30-minute introductory session with her, then you just go to, where was it? Contact us up here, mm-hmm. and type in your information and tell her what you're interested in. Tell her that you heard about her on hashtag No Limits and that you are interested in having that introductory session with her. So is your website the best way then to get a hold of you or to reach you?
Yes, that's the best way, but I can also provide you with my phone number.
I don't want you to give out your phone number on air. So.
Well, I do offer it because it's specifically for that. So it doesn't bother me, but it's okay. We can just go through the website. You can contact me that way, or you can Google me. You can look for us on Facebook, and I can answer questions there as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you also, this is how, if somebody would like to hire you to come and do public speaking, they would also go to your website to do that as well.
Yes.
And then, yeah, I'll just put up the Facebook and the Instagram accounts again, and I'll scroll, your website will be down at the bottom. So we do have a few minutes, and mm-hmm. I just want to make sure, I'm going to stop sharing the screen here. So I just want to make sure that, you know, that we've covered everything. We've talked about a lot of limiting points about dyslexia, mm-hmm. but dyslexia to me is like several of the other disabilities in that it comes with unique strengths. And you kind of mentioned those before when we were talking about the straight from point A to point B, and the how they would, you know, you would notice things mm-hmm. along your route that might be different. What, if you could elaborate on that, or what other strengths are there about having dyslexia?
Well, some of their strengths is creativity. You know, they can get very creative with, here's an example. This child that we were evaluating, we asked him to read a story. So he couldn't read it. So what he did, he created this beautiful story about farm animals. And it was captivating because he was so detailed in the way he was just telling that story and the creativity that he was using to just create it. It was just amazing to us. And we just allowed him to finish his story. Unfortunately, we could not give him a good grade on it, but it was just amazing. And that amazes me how out of nothing, they can create something and something that is going to be useful or it's going to help in some way. Also, they can see things that we don't pick up on. They are able to just also tell stories. They have the big picture thinking. This dad was telling me that when he would buy something and he would have to put it together, he would always grab the instructions, right, and do it. Mm-hmm. But the child would say, no, Dad, let me do it. And he, without reading anything, he would just put it together. He says, I am so amazed on how he's able to do all this. without even reading it. He just figures everything out. He connects one point to another. And that's another example. Even with baking or cooking, you give them, let's say you show them a cake, right? And this is how we want it to for you to decorate it. Well, they can come up with better ideas and better designs than what you are showing them. And the other thing that it really grasped my attention is that they're so empathetic. When they see someone struggling, they are willing to go and help. And I think that comes from your own struggles because you understand that person. You are going through that or you went through that and you know how hard that is. And you just want to embrace them and help them feel better about their struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% would agree with that. I felt as though in almost every one of the students that I ever taught, they were better characters, better people because of their character traits than a lot of the people that I knew that were in the general education classrooms 100% of the time and not getting any kind of support. And I agree with you that I think it comes from they know what it's like to struggle. They know what it's like to feel left out. They know what it's like to be left behind, to have that societal stress. And yes, I always thought that my students were equally, if not more, empathetic and sympathetic to others than many other students that I interacted. What sort of advice do you have for parents? I know you've specifically mentioned moms, and moms are the ones that typically. What would you say to any parent
To any parent, the first step is understand dyslexia. Once you understand dyslexia, you have a better picture of what it entails, and then also understand how the brain works. And that is going to give you answers for how they are reacting to a certain activity. You know, sometimes they tend to just cry and you're like, why are they crying? Well, it's because it's overwhelming and they feel like they can't do it and that they are going to let their parents down because they are not able to be successful at what they're supposed to do. Those are the main things, you know, understand dyslexia and know how the brain works. And also take it slow. Take it one day at a time. Don't try to overwhelm yourself with all this information because there's a lot of information out there and also strategies and tools that you can implement so you can help your child. So just take it one day at a time. The important thing here is that you have to encourage your child. You have to celebrate small wins, whether he's in third grade and he just was able to read a three-letter word, celebrate it. Let's say he is trying, but he's not able to read a word or what have you. It's just the fact that they're trying, that they are not giving up, celebrate that too. Yes. Any little thing that you can celebrate, celebrate it. Every single day, let them know you are smart. You can do this. And I am here as your mom, as your dad, as your sibling. I am here to help you. You are not alone. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take us to get you from point A to point B. I will be there with you every step of the way. The parents are the best advocates for their children, not just in school, but also at home. You know, sometimes family, the rest of the family, they don't understand. So you have to make sure that you educate every single member of your family. And I'm not just talking immediate family. I'm talking cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, because sometimes they start comparing the child with a child that doesn't have dyslexia. And that is not fair. You know, so that's why we need to empower the moms and the dads and the siblings so they can advocate for their son, daughter, or sibling. But if I can leave you with a word of wisdom, this is if I just say this to the parents, your child's struggles isn't a sign of weakness. It's the soil where resilience and brilliance are growing. So just give them the opportunity and be patient with them, because they are going to succeed in life. They're going to thrive if you are there for them.
That is beautiful. I've never heard it put that way before, that the soil where the brilliance and the resilience is going to come from.
And I get very emotional because I went through a lot.
Yeah.
But by the grace of God, I was able to make it. And now I know that I was dyslexic all this time, and I am dyslexic. But that is what empowers me, gives me the fuel to fight for these children, to educate the moms, and to bring awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I often, I had different types of struggles in school. It wasn't dyslexia or specific learning disability, but I often get teary-eyed in my episodes because just the idea that somebody else struggled in something the same, you know, similar to my struggles, and knowing what I saw my students go through and how my, see, it's coming, and how my students were treated as if they weren't valued because they learned differently than other people in their community or in their grade or in their family. Right. And it is very difficult, especially with invisible disabilities like dyslexia. Mm-hmm. And when I say invisible disabilities, it's the ones that you can't see when you look at a person. Mm-hmm. We tend to have overly high expectations for people with invisible disabilities, and usually overly low expectations for those with disabilities we can see.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, again, you know, become aware, as you mentioned, of what we're doing, what we're thinking. And that's part of the reason for hashtag No Limits, is because I want people to understand how their thoughts and beliefs affect how they treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say, you know, hashtag No Limits, obviously not everybody's going to be an astronaut. Not everybody who wants to be president can be president.
Mm-hmm.
But to set limits on a person's potential because of our own limiting thoughts is, I think, a travesty. We truly don't know what sort of miracles, medical breakthroughs, scientific breakthroughs, technological advances, and how much grit the person has.
Right.
I think that has a lot to do with it as well. And to just, I heard it too many times when I taught, that little children, kindergarten, first, second, third grade, it was being spoken over them that they would never be successful. They maybe wouldn't graduate. They wouldn't get a good job. They wouldn't, you know, just do all the things. And that's where you can't really see it, but that's why the title of my book is The Way It Is.
Mm-hmm.
Those Who Can't Teach, because so many, well, everybody in the book was told at some point or another, you can't behave that way. You can't read. You can't do math. You can't have a happy life, whatever. And yet every one of them does.
Right.
It looks different. It doesn't look exactly maybe like my family. But how boring would life be if we all looked exactly the same?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And then to your point, I have a story. You just reminded me one time, this mom, she was furious, and she just came in and she was crying and she didn't know what to do. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she says, "Well, I just had a meeting with the principal, and guess what he told me?" And I said, "What?" "Oh, you don't worry about your child. He's going to be okay. He can always work at Walmart." And so I'm like, what kind of a comment is that? You know, instead of uplifting the mom and saying, you know, your child, with the help that we can provide, your child is going to have a bright future. No, it's like, don't worry. He can be a janitor, or he can work at Walmart.
And in that one comment that supposedly was uplifting, we have now knocked down people that work at Walmart and janitors and that particular student.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Why do we do that?
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah. It's because we don't know. We don't know better sometimes. And we yes. just assume that if we just say something, it's going to be okay. But no, you can't tell that to a child or right. the mom of the child or the parent. You can't say that. You need to encourage them because that's what they need. Because you're not lying to them. The child has a bright future. We just need to provide them with the help that they need, specialized.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And something I want to add to your mom's advice or your dad's advice is trust your gut, parents. If you think that something is different in your child than, you know, and they're having struggles with learning, if you go to the school district and you say, I want my child evaluated for special education, and they tell you, as Griselda said, you know, oh, just wait. Oh, no, don't just wait. Keep pushing. Or if they say, oh, don't worry, your child will be fine. No, if your gut is telling you to push on, then push on. If you're not getting answers from the schools, if they're not doing interventions, if they're not evaluating for special education or 504 services, then you need to reach out to me or someone like me, and we will go with you and, mm-hmm. and we will talk with the school with you and say, you know, we've got to do something for this child. And it is unfortunate. There are schools who won't listen unless you bring in an outside source. Mm-hmm. Even if you have teachers telling them, sometimes they're not going to listen because higher ups, you know, and by higher ups, it could be legislators, it could be administrators within the district saying our numbers are too high, our you know, this is off or that. But you keep pushing because absolutely we need to make sure that our children are getting the supports that they need and that they are getting that appropriate education. That benefits everybody in society.
Yes,
it absolutely does. And I hate to like bring it down to that very basic level, but if we're helping our students in school, then we are helping all of us when that student is out of school and is a productive member of society.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sorry, yes. My little soapbox there.
No, you're absolutely right. Everything that you're saying, it's absolutely right. We just need to advocate for these children and make sure that if we can somehow change laws so they can get the help that they need when they need it, not 3-4 years later, and we can make a difference in their lives, that's what we need to do. And that's why we are here. I guess that's why we go through the challenges that we go through, so we can understand the other children that are not getting the help, the children that are barely getting diagnosed or that they have never been diagnosed and they're struggling. So we need to support them in any way that we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Griselda, thank you so much for being my guest today. It has been very enjoyable, and I've really enjoyed talking with you and learning more about dyslexia and having you share your story. Your story is a beautiful story, and I am very thankful that you were able to share that with us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. Like I said, I want to talk about dyslexia. I want to bring awareness. Whatever I can do to help the children so they don't have to go through what I went through, then I welcome any invitation. So thank you for having me here and allowing me to talk about my passion, dyslexia.
Yeah, absolutely. And to everyone who joined us today, Fran, and anyone else who joined or is joining in the replay, thank you so much for being here. Make sure that you like and subscribe so that you get this content every time there's a new episode. As much as I can, I do it weekly. I'm at episode 206, and I've got people, you know, scheduled for at least 10 more weeks. So I plan to have at least up to 216, but I know there's more stories out there. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. If you know someone who has a story like Griselda's or any of the other stories that have been on the other 205 episodes, have them reach out to me. I'd love to share stories. That's what this is all about. That's how we're going to bust through those limits that society places upon people, is by changing them, their perspective, and helping them realize that we know who we are, but not who we will be. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.